Yes.
Yes, yes, Jack.
Okay. And that's the same one we discussed with the 65 with 40% and deleting the old one?
Yes, correct. Well, the elders exemption, we're changing that with this ordinance. That's all this ordinance is doing is the elders exemption change.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
Okay, Rhea?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda is next. Everybody had a chance to look at the minutes. Any additions, deletions, typo errors? Page one, there's one on acting harbor master that we talked about, which delete that.
There's two typos. One is the acting harbor master.
And then on page two, it's McGowan is spelled M-A-G-O-N.
Page two, McGowan is misspelled.
Yes.
McGowan.
Any other corrections?
I'll make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Question, please.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Okay, under reports, Chris, the finance officer, you want to give us the report, please?
Raw fish tax for October was $41,610.64. October sales tax was $69,251.83. Our bank balance, $4,948,658.53. I included a check register and an expenditure and revenue guideline.
Any comments?
Did we receive a payment from somebody for the harbor? Is that why that's up so high?
Well, it's as of October.
Yeah.
And so stuff has been paid.
Okay.
If you can see, I included the check register as of today, or as of when we sent out the packet, so you can see if there's any big payments. Which I think there is.
Okay. Any other comments? None. Thank you, Krista. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll go through my report quickly here. Small boat harbor update. At our last meeting, one of the issues that was raised was the elevation or the height of the piles that were being cut. And some of the folks, some of the fishermen and others, thought that 16-foot elevation was too short. We therefore, from the and all of the sea float has had the elevations locked off at 16 feet. We worked with Pacific Pile, and all piling after that are going to be at 18 feet, so an additional 2 feet taller. But to make sure that the 16-foot piles are tall enough to withstand a high, you know, high tide, and that the floats are not going to fall off the piling, I requested URS, who is the engineering firm that designed the harbor, to provide us with a letter from their engineers that assures the city that the 16-foot elevations is fully within the scope of the extreme high tides that we may receive in this harbor. And I have not received that letter, but when we get it, we will. I'll pass that along to the city. But it basically gives us some assurance that if there ever is a problem with the height of those 16-foot piling, we are on record as questioning that, and they're going to be on record as telling us that they were either they are fine or they're not. If their letter comes back saying that they've been cut too short, it will be URS's problem to get them fixed, and not the city's, because they were the ones who designed it. So.
Right, and also we have correspondence with URS from their engineer.
Right, they started that ball. We just haven't received a letter yet. Yeah. And then in a related matter, working with R&M, who's our construction administrator on site, they're the folks who we pay to be our eyes and ears at the boat harbor. We've had some issues with the B float, the alignment of the B float. We think a couple of pilings have not been put in correctly. With the naked eye, you can visually see that there's a bend in the B float. And for that and some other reasons, we've asked R&M to reassign and give us a different on-site administrator. They're bringing a fellow in who's been on a sewer project, and he's supposed to be out here in the next day or two. City Tile has told us they are shutting down for the holiday season. They're going to tie up and be out of here, I believe, January or December the 18th, and we'll be back first of the year, I think, to second or third of the year, the sixth, they said, to be back and to finish the project. But they're going to be buttoned up for the holidays, so there'll be a little activity as far as construction during the Christmas and New Year's season. The McClintock land survey, as you remember, that's what we've been trying to get accomplished so that the uplands at our new boat harbor can be leased, and that those folks, those entities that are leasing property, have a solid document that shows where their property boundaries are, how much square footage they're leasing, so there's no question as to what the properties are. This is aimed specifically at the Horizon lease, which we'll talk about in a minute. And also, it was aimed at getting Silver Bay's lease finalized so that we could get them under lease agreement and get their clock ticking to hopefully get Silver Bay to attract Silver Bay to come into the community. And we'll talk about that document here when we go with the Horizon lease. My next bullet is on the Horizon lease. And as I mentioned, we've been waiting to get this McClintock land survey up and done, and because the Horizon lease is an agenda item, we'll wait till that agenda item to talk about Horizon. Mr. Mayor will talk about the dock, fix to the float dock in the new harbor here in a minute. Insurance update: as you know, we are required to have general liability and workers' compensation insurance with the city of Sandpoint. And it yearly costs us anywhere from $90,000 to $130,000 a year. 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, because of the increasing cost of this insurance, I went out and into the market and looked at other options. And we left the Alaska Municipal League insurance pool, and we have been insured by Alaska Public Entity Insurance, APEI, for the last 2.5 years. In your packet, your FYI, there's a letter that I sent to ATI. We are required by law to give them a six-month notice if we are going to potentially leave their group and look for other insurance. And all my letter is saying to ATI is that we are, this spring, we are going to ask them for a quote. We're also going to ask for a quote from the municipal league and see, we can compare price, and price to me is a huge factor on where we get our insurance. And so the letter that's in your FYI is just that. Sales tax, as you're aware, the citizens of Sandpoint voted to increase sales tax effective January the 1st by 1%, going from 3% to 4%. We have to alert the businesses to that fact. A lot of the folks, of course, here in Sandpoint, the businesses in Sandpoint are aware of that, but we have to assume that it's news to everyone. So we have to, and I'm going to be working with Shannon, the city clerk, and we're going to get a letter out to all businesses, both inside and outside the city, anyone who does business with the city of Sandpoint, and that letter is going to request that these businesses renew their business license or get a business license, which is a yearly requirement. And I believe it's $25, Shannon, to get a business license in the city. Mm-hmm. Anyone doing business in the city must have a city business license. And then the other part of that letter is going to say, because the sales tax has been increased, here are two new tax forms to use. If you're only collecting sales tax, and there's I've been preparing these forms. There's a copy of the sales tax report form with Jane Doe's. Jane's Gift Shop is just to show you how these reports work. And the next page is a sales and accommodations tax, and it's James Bed and Breakfast. And again, gives you an idea of how these reports work. This is now done in a sales spreadsheet, so if a business wants to put this form on their computer, it's all got if you know Excel at all, the formulas are already locked into these pages, and if the entity just simply fills out lines 1 and 2 and pushes the button, the rest of the calculations will be done for them. They print this, sign it, and send it off to the city with a check, and the taxing situation should continue quite smoothly. Of course, those that do not want to use Excel can just print this form off blank and fill this out by hand, and that's certainly acceptable also. But this gets us moving forward and getting our sales tax increase ready to go. And we should get this out to the businesses here sometime in December. It really won't affect their tax transaction until at the earliest February the 1st, because the taxes they collect in January should be a 4% sales tax, and we should know that. And an 11% bed tax. I mean, we did not change bed tax. It's always been at 7. But the 4% sales tax will make our bed and breakfast tax 11%, and our sales tax is 4%. So these forms are hopefully the right way to go with that. And I've asked Krista and Shannon and Curtis to look over these forms and play with them and make sure that the calculations are correct. I think they are. And lastly, the new administrator, we're going to talk about Andy Varner's contract. And I'm assuming Andy's contract is approved, and he comes on board January the 2nd. I talk about how I plan to work with the new administrator. I don't think it's rocket science. A lot of what he's going to have to learn is the filing system that I've set up. I have thousands of documents, hundreds of grants, from four-wheelers to animals to personnel to you pick a topic, and you can pull out a file on it. Some of those files go back 10 or 15 years. Forms, all these forms that I'm talking about. The Mark Hickey file is I've got every contract for every contract we've had with Mark Hickey. I've had copies of every invoice he's ever sent us. I've got copies of every report he's ever sent us, and I've got it chronologically. One of the things Andy's going to have to learn to do is how to wade through my filing system. He may want to change it 100%, but the strength of it is it's there, and it does not have to reinvent the wheel. A good example is I came in the office yesterday, and on the mayor's desk was our shared fisheries business tax form. It's something in the city. It's about a $40,000 pot of money that the city gets every year, but we have to fill out a bunch of forms to get it. It took me about 30 minutes to take last year's forms, change some numbers, change some dates, review it. There's a resolution that the council will act upon next month adopting our shared fisheries business tax report. Again, it took me about 30 minutes because all that stuff is in a file. It's going to be incumbent upon Andy, the new administrator, to learn how all that worked. He may want to start over and do his own. He'll change things. But there's a lot of things that are just a matter of pulling up last year's, dusting it off, updating it, printing it, signing it, sending it off. A lot of it's not a lot, but it's a lot of it is there. And again, we'll talk about his contract when it comes up. So that's all I have.
Any comments? Questions? Okay, thanks, Paul. Updating us on McGowan. You just got an email from him. I got back within my mail, and he said he's due here. Jack McFarland, representing the adjuster, said he'll be here December 28th, and hopefully we'll have that card in, but that's the date he gave us. And just about a bank. He said bank on will be there on December 28th, hopefully. And getting back to our trip, I went out for the AML, spent 3 days in Anchorage. Sherry was there, Shannon, Krista. Spend a little time with AML. Had some interesting meetings. Very constructive time we spent in Anchorage. We also had a chance to take Andy Warner out. Paul, Shirley, myself, Manny went out to for a business lunch, and we got to talk a little more in depth with him about the position and responsibilities. And he was pretty up about the meeting, and he was energetic, especially in the conversation. Did make the last day of the boat show in Seattle. Set up Monday meeting, Tuesday meeting with Trident. Went down and talked to Trident about the payment with tax proposal that we had to Trident Seafood. We spent some time with Chris. It was a constructive meeting. I haven't received any information back from him yet, but I had a real good meeting with him. Felt comfortable, and we talked about a lot of things that pertain to the city, and as far as the city working with Trident and trying to work a solution out to help the city in its budget shortfall. So I'm waiting to hear from them. I haven't yet, but
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Martin.
Okay, Jack, I'm talking to myself. I'm mumbling up here. You want me to repeat it? I just said I met with Trident down there, and I had a chance to talk with Chris Arnhem, and we did talk constructively about the payment loop tax proposal.
You filled me in on that the other day. Yeah, I know.
Alan, did you?
Thank you.
Are you able to hear me, Alan?
Can you hear him now?
Yeah. I was kind of having a hard time, too. I had the phone pressed against my ear, but the last part there I heard real good.
Okay, all right. All right, that's about all I have to report from the mayor's desk. If you don't have any questions, I'll pass it on over to Chief.
Thank you. Yeah, our report is printed in the packet there, and you'll see our statistical numbers. Pretty steady with months comparable in the past. And in light of that steady work, we really haven't been overwhelmed significantly, and so that gave us an opportunity to spend a lot of time at the schools this past month, which has been nice. Been in classrooms and been up there for lunch, and I think that investment is going to pay back when kids need some help and they know that they can trust us and have a relationship with us already. So that's been a positive thing. We had two DUIs this past month that took a little bit of time and sorting things out and spending the night down in the department writing reports, but we worked through that. And we were also able to get the dog out quite a bit. I think I mentioned earlier we were down on Thanksgiving Day and met the freight boat and sniffed a bunch of pallets and got consent from some people that were willing to allow us to do that, and that was a positive. And we've used him on several traffic stops as well, so we continue to keep him involved and active. And most of you know we're hosting a trial right now. It's a King Cove trial, and involves a vast array of people everywhere from Anchorage to King Cove. I guess we have some APD officers that live out in Talkeetna that are here. But my point there, the assistant district attorney expects the trial to be over by the end of the day tomorrow. And if that's the case, he doesn't leave till Thursday evening. If anybody would want an opportunity to sit down and talk to him and express their thoughts on Sandpoint and representation from his office, I'd be happy to make that happen by an opportunity. So let me know and we can schedule that. It might be a healthy thing for him to hear, even outside of the police department, what's important to the community. You know, the mayor had expressed an interest and we'll make that happen if you have time. And anyone else, I invite them with the same offer.
Okay. Any questions, comments for the chief? Thanks. Dave?
Okay. Good evening. Starting with the fire department, Meth was cleaned up here the last couple weeks in the fire hall. We've been working. Brett and I went down here 2 weekends ago and worked on the extrication tools for getting people out of vehicles and being able to blow up airbags to lift the cars and vehicles. And Meth and the chief were finishing up on a grant, which pretty much done. As far as the streets, we finished the playground. We've been ditched the jumps. We had water coming out of the center of the road due to the water table, and the ditch line was too high. So we got that taken care of. We've been ditching the city dock road and trying to stay up on grading, but it's pretty hard when you get 14 inches of rain in a month, and we're almost 3 inches for this month already. So we're trying to catch the roads as we can. We offloaded 8 days worth of floats up at the rock quarry. We helped Illusion Housing move three junk vehicles in a boat. The vehicles are up at our shop right now with all the oils drained out, and we're going to be using it for fire department practicals. Repaired my pickup truck. We have major electrical problem with it. We finally figured it out. We built some grader chains and put them on the graders, but ended up taking them off one grader because we never did snow. We serviced one police vehicle. We serviced our Bobcat little excavator. We were working on recycled center furnace, waiting for a transformer to come in. We prepped the area for the electrical for the BNC float, and as of right now, BNC float's done as far as electrical and fire suppression. Water sewer, we replaced a lift station pump down in Mud Bay, and we had to order a new backup one. We received all the parts for the main pump house, the 15 horsepower. We'll be putting that in. Still working on the PLC programming logistic controller. We've got a card that's bad on it, and we were able, for the time being, is drop down a couple lugs on it, and we're running it, and it works fine. Besides, now we don't have no alarm system, and that's being worked on at this time. We need to thank Trident Seafoods for loaning us Justin for the PLC work. He's a technician. He's a guru on that. We're actively seeking a water sewer plant operator, and we have the parts now completed to rebuild two hydrants. We need to order some more parts. And Dennis wanted me to touch bases on to kind of keep an FYI to the city council that our sludge drying bed down at Kelly Avenue is plumb full. And with the high rains and we're getting right now in inches of rain, this thing's about ready to overflow. And we need to come up with some type of a plan of pumping the solids off, whether we do it this winter in a frozen ground and line dump trucks and take it to a hole at the landfill and bury it, or in the summertime we have to bring in a pumper truck. We'd have to rent one for a month or so and pump like 300 yards of solid waste, and that would have to go up there. Be a lot easier to handle it in the freezing rain, but I was asked to bring that guy to your attention. Landfill, we've been hauling and burning trash, of course. We have hauled probably 27 loads of broken floats and debris up there. We did 19 loads yesterday with two trucks. It's just steady. We're actually overworking our incinerator with the amount of garbage that we're getting and burning at this point in time. Recycle center, just crushing glass, working good. And that's about it.
Okay, any comments or questions for Dave? Well, Dave, we did have a conversation earlier this week when I got back about the water runoff up by Casey's and Ken's. I know that's been going on for some time now. Have you been able to address that issue at all?
No, we've got some vehicles up there on the road that the city needs to address a letter to them so they'll move.
So maybe that can come out of your department.
I've talked to them four times, Martin. I don't know what else to do.
Okay, well, we'll get a letter out to them. Also, the other one was on the sludge station. I know we talked about that last year when last fall. And so it was half full at that time.
Yeah, no, we're 6 inches from overflowing at this point. Looked at it today. That's one reason why Dennis brought it up.
We'll put that address hopefully on it for you this weekend.
Well, I thought ANTCH was doing the grant for that, and we were doing the expenditures for our lift stations at $50,000, $60,000 a pop, right? Since Doug Abbas is gone now, it seems like everything's been dropped.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can work out with that. We'll address that issue.
Because that was our high priority. That and the alpha line that's broke down there on Kelly Avenue.
Okay. All right, thanks. Thank you. Any comments? All right, thanks. Raymond, you want to
fill us in on what's going on in the harbor down there, please?
Everything's going as planned. I guess they have one more section to put in on the eighth float, and then I don't know if they'll be start on the fingers or start on the angle to the T-float. But the overseer thinks that they're going to put the float, the stalls into the A float because they have to still work on the grid.
Okay. And then you're moving all the boats over tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow. They have to take some sightings. The that's what I forgot to ask. The Pacific Pile guy,
Keith.
Oh, Keith?
Yeah. He said that we should put something on the walkway on the grid, and he recommended that three-tab, that asphalt roofing.
Mm-hmm.
I called Jim Brown up, but he doesn't have any. You know of anybody in town that has any?
Or I've had. It's cheap.
Pardon?
It's cheap. We can just order it.
Okay. Yeah. He said it'd be a lot easier, you know, when they put the walkway in, they put the stuff on.
Okay. And we'll get that order then, for the walkway. Did he have a time when he was putting the walkway?
Well, they won't be till they come back.
Okay.
That's on the 6th. 6th of January.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can get that in 16-foot rolls, too, instead of just 1-foot squares.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Raymond. Any questions, comments? Colton?
So, yeah, I'll give you guys a recap of what Student Council has done so far this year. But first off, I'll start off with the Student Council members. I'm currently the president. Our vice president is Lainey Yechmanoff. Our secondary treasurer is Jillian Bajornsen. Our social chair is Danteza. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Our 12th grade representative is Kiyomi Krim. Our 11th grade representative is Mariana Larson. Our 10th grade representative is Chloe Gardner. Our 9th grade representative is Madison Thompson. Our 8th grade representative is Peyton Stroud. And our 7th grade representative is Brittany Gardner. So events that Student Council has done so far this year are Red Ribbon Week, where we did a Spirit Week and a Pep Assembly. Madison and I went to the OSAL Conference in Juneau from October 19th to the 21st. And we're currently working on some resolutions to present at the next one. We had the Halloween Carnival. And we did the Great American Smokeout on November 21st, where we split up and went to different elementary classrooms and presented about unsmoking and what it can do to you. And we had the Winter Formal Dance a couple days ago on the 7th. And at the science fair just today. The winter concert is on Thursday at 7 p.m. High school basketball practice has started, and our first games are on January 7th. The boys are going to King Cove, and the King Cove girls are coming here. And we've been talking about prom throughout the year, getting a head start on it. Yeah, thanks.
Nice. That's a good presentation. You did
very good.
Thank you.
Any
question? Do you know approximately how many games are here for basketball?
Here? I think King Cove is going to come here for 3 trips for the boys. And I'm not sure about the girls.
Any regionals or anything happening here this year? No?
Oh, yeah, the girls' regionals is going to be here.
Okay.
And boys are going to New Stu. Only one team is going, Sound Point or King Cove.
Mm-hmm. standpoint.
Okay. Thanks, Colton. That was great. Any other questions for Colton? We appreciate it, Colton.
Very well done.
All right. Yes. Thank you. Okay, ordinances. First, ordinance is 2013-06, abatement of nuisance, second. Can you get a motion to get it on the floor for discussion?
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 2013-06 on the floor for second reading.
I'll second it.
Yeah, Paul?
As we talked about last month, this is an ordinance that's going to help us rid ourselves of some of the nuisances. It's been quite cumbersome for us to get rid of a derelict boat or a, the biggest headache we've had is trying to get a house trailer. Some of the things that are left in town, the owners have long since left town and perhaps died, or the families don't even know that there's property owned out here, or there's money's owed on the property. We have to spend a lot of time and expense going to attorneys and finding out, publishing things in the paper. This ordinance allows us a little cleaner action. We are not asked to try to take property from people who can prove that that property is theirs and they can do it in a proper manner. What we're trying to do is some of these properties have been left abandoned and derelict for numbers of years, and it's not fair to the citizens of the city to have to put up with that. So this ordinance basically gives us a little more leverage to do that.
Council, we did talk about this ordinance at our last meeting, just very little. I did discuss it. Does council have any information or anything they want to do pertaining to this ordinance?
First of all, you should open it. You should have a public.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just checking. All right. Is there anything that we can do before we make them? Okay, hearing none, at this time I'll open it to the public for public comment on this ordinance. Are there any public comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll.
I don't think Paul mentioned something about the vote on this.
It talks about the public nuisances. We can declare, for instance, if there's a boat up on the uplands that's been neglected or left as a nuisance, we can declare that as a nuisance.
But I think it's in the thing down the
road. It is, and when we redo our boat harbor ordinance, that will also strengthen that. But this is not aimed at trying to get rid of boats that are not paying their bills that are at the boat harbor.
Yeah.
This is at derelict properties that have been abandoned or left.
Oh, okay.
Any other public comments on the ordinance? Okay, hearing none. We'll close that portion. Does the council have any final comments to make before we call for the question?
Did you ask for council comments, Martin?
Yes, I did, Jack.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm gonna support what we're talking about on this ordinance, but I still believe it could have been cleaned up a little bit. There's some stuff in there that looks to me to be excessive to what we're going after, and I just point out that it's a lot easier to pass something clean than it is to go back and fix it up later. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments on it?
Yeah, I think, I understand where, like, this ordinance was aimed at, getting rid of some boats or, derelict trailers that are all burned out and ugly, and I think we all agree we want to do that. But there's just a bunch of stuff in here. We already have, some of this stuff, like, public nuisances, and then, where did I see that one? Something about unusual noises or smells, and and steam shovels. And I mean, we already have ordinances on the book that address noise and smells. And I don't know if we need two. And yeah, I definitely, you know, I don't think we need a law that tells specific pile that they need to operate their pile driver during the daytime. I mean, it's always kind of been, I don't know, I just think, I think there's a bunch of extra stuff in here that it isn't really just aimed at trailers and derelict boats and vehicles. There's a whole lot more stuff in here. Some of it we already have, most of it we already have in our code, as I was kind of looking through our code there.
Well, I have a tendency to agree with what Paul said, that the intent of the ordinance is to just make it available for the city to do anything that they had to do with what you talked about, trailers and boats and et cetera. I don't think it really was any more read into it that the city is reading into it, but it just happens to be part of the ordinance that all the other stuff that goes along with the ordinance. I kind of agree with you that, you know, that could be overbearing on a lot of the other things, but I don't think the intent of the ordinance is that. But I understand your guys' concern. Paul, you want to get anything?
Well, no, I you know, this ordinance is out there, and if there are specific things that it's redundant or if somebody wants to strike, that's what the council should do. They should say, well, I want, you know, number 7 is redundant, or I don't like number 13. That either we do that, you know, the three options are we pass the ordinance, we don't pass the ordinance, or we make amendments to this ordinance and then pass it. And I don't hear anybody saying what they want to amend. If you know, we can table this until the next meeting, and if council members want to come back and specifically say they don't like number 7 through 10 and strike it, or they want something added, that's what this process is about. So again, the options are either take it the way it's written, don't pass it, and we don't have the ordinance on the books, or make changes to this particular document.
Well, I think since Alan, you and Jack had the questions about it, is there anything on the nuisances that you see in 1308-020 that you may want to amend? I mean, I think we've had a second reading on the ordinance. It'd be nice to at least move this ordinance forward. And if this is the time to amend it, we can.
Well, the one that comes to mind to me, besides what Alan was talking about, you know, was the standing water. It doesn't say gray water, black water. It just says standing water. It just seems like, I don't know. I see that as an open-ended law, and I just don't like them like that. But I mean, like I said, I can support this, but you know, I just think we're going to end up coming back to it sometime in the future.
Well, this is your option right now if you want to, amend this ordinance. You want to omit that? I think it's probably in.
Which one is standing? Do you have it in front of you there, Jack?
Number 10.
Number 10.
No, I don't have any paperwork or here with me, Paul. I'm winging it. I couldn't get to a computer or a fax today, so.
Number 10.
Number 10. The stagnant water of ponds.
Well, if you want that one struck, I mean, that's easily done. But that's my point. And I appreciate Alan and Jack. They're not comfortable. They think it's overkill or that it's not needed. Again, the options are to change this document or pass it.
Well, my question is, if this is the first reading, can we change it now and still come up at the next meeting?
This is the second reading.
And it'll be cleaned up?
This is the second reading, Jack. We had.
Oh, this is the second. Yes. We did the first reading last time. That's right.
The first reading, it would just have been posted, and anybody, any citizen, can come in and say, "I don't like number 10, or "I don't like whatever," and those things would be noted.
It can be changed. I mean, there's another. You know, you can go back, like you said, Jack, and you know,
table.
You know,
Well, I don't want to be leaguered, guys, and I'm not going to. I just, like I said, I don't see the sense to make laws if there's not an obvious problem. That's all. And for what that's worth, and then I'll just shut up and someone else go. But, you know, I mean, if I had agreement on that or something, I'd certainly, you know, I don't know what to say. Then at the next meeting, would it be come back cleaned up for passage into ordinance, or would that put us off two more meetings?
No. What we could do is we cannot come to an agreement on wording on this ordinance. We would then table it. It would come up for our January meeting, again, for second reading and final passage. During the second reading, that's when we would amend the ordinance. And that's what we could do now. We could strike whole passages of this. You know, we could rewrite it. But this is, you know, the mayor actually gave the attorney the task of coming up with an ordinance. And the frustration, I think, was when Dave and the Public Works crew tried to get rid of a number of abandoned and dangerous conditions down at the trailer park. And we could not find owners. We don't know who owns this property. And as soon as you go in and tear something down that's the ownership is questionable, I've seen it happen. Somebody from, you know, Florida called up and said, you just tore down a mansion of mine up in Sand Point, I'm going to sue the city. We're trying to get away from that, and we want to give the Public Works crew the opportunity to tear, you know, to clean up a piece of property and make it a more livable, nicer community. And that's what this ordinance was drafted for. But again, the attorney throws all this stuff on the, you know, on a document, and we put it up for first reading, and then there's a 30-day period, which has just passed, where the council or the citizens can make comments. And if the comments are valid, if the council feels that a comment is worth changing the ordinance, they would make a motion to strike column number 10, you know, stagnant water, or whichever, pick one. Then we would go back into approving the ordinance and passing.
It was amended, yes.
So if there's questions about what's in this, or if it's overkill, or there's things that people want to see changed, then we can table this and it can be put on the agenda for January for second reading and final passage. It just extends this amount. It is not critical. It's not the end of the world whether we pass this or not. It gives the city just more leverage, if you will, to deal with some of the problems in the city.
I mean, it goes back to the issues that we've had with abandoned trailers. Trailers that, you know, have been a nuisance for the city for quite some time. We've pretty much gotten rid of the majority of them. We have vehicles, derelict boats, except those things are the ones that we're trying to target. We're not, you know, the number 10, the stagnant water or ponds, that's, you know, I never even knew that was in the system myself, but I never even thought much about that. That we may, as a city, be unhappy with that or be aggressive about that. But it's council decision, I agree.
Which line are we talking about to, you know, that is directed at the abandoned boats? Is that number 11? Where
I think 11, abandoned, yeah. 11
broken 11. Equipment, appliances.
That's 11 is aimed, we could stretch out the boats, but 11 is aimed at, you know, forgive, a good example is how long did that truck sit across the street at our public, at our recycle center, because we couldn't touch it because the ownership was in question or what have you. If we, after a period of time, we simply say that's a nuisance. We are going to confiscate that truck and we're going to dispose of it. That gives us, this ordinance gives us the ability to do that, versus what we have now is we sit and twiddle our thumbs and have to get the attorneys involved and spend money trying to find owners over something that has no value to me. It's junk.
I kind of think numbers 11 and 12 are kind of the two there that we would use to go after, you know, abandoned vehicles. It says vehicles, machinery, tools, junk, lumber, trash, placed or stored on public property, not maintained as a landfill, junkyard, or salvage yard.
Yeah.
And then that, then 12 is building exteriors maintained in a condition as to be defective or in a state of deterioration or disrepair, and where such building condition allows material to be scattered from or about property by wind, rain, snow, or other force of nature. Those are kind of the ones we're using to go after the junk buildings, right?
And then, like, number 7 also, Alan, if you back up and look at number 7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you can even go back to 5 and look at 5. I mean, these make sense as nuisances, you know. I mean, we can go back and look at them. There's a couple in there that you may not like. That's okay. But the majority of them are directed at things that would be a hindrance or a nuisance to the city, neighborhood, et cetera, detrimental to your health, or et cetera. I think that's what it was designed for, under the common sense factor.
And most of this ordinance, I think the issue is what's included in 13.0802, the enumeration of nuisances. There may be a lot of things on there we want to strike. There may be some things we want to add. But most of the rest of this ordinance is the procedures of how you abate and what the appeal process is, and how you notice, you know, we don't just go across the street the next day and haul that truck away. We have to make an attempt to notify owners, etc. So I think the question that we're discussing is, what is a nuisance that we want to include in this ordinance?
And it's always nice, you know, we're at the workshop to be able to work these issues out. When we talk about these issues, it's kind of helpful for us to get direction when we go to the council meeting to actually, you know, vote on this ordinance and get it passed through.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. I just, like I said, I just remind everybody that we may all not be there sometime, and if we enact laws that let your neighbor start picking on you, I mean, for example, if you get a, you know, 14 inches of rain in 1 month and you got a pond growing in your property and your neighbors start picking on you, well, it's pretty expensive to go ditch that. And some of the, that's what I was looking at, some of the other ones, and it seems like that's what we're opening up, is it's not just up to the city. Any citizen can come up and say, hey, this is a law, isn't it? Well, you better enforce it.
I'm trying to look at the one in the enumeration of nuisances that pertain to that, and the one I see that...
Yeah, because I'm in full support of what we started with on this. I mean, I am in full support. It just, I have a problem with the way our government, or, you know, our federal government is, and making laws just willy-nilly. And then, I mean, we have laws that contradict laws, and that's kind of what Alan was alluding to, I think. And we don't want to do that.
Yeah, you know, we've actually come up with a couple of them. If you look up at number 9, Jack, it says unreasonable neglect of premises. We've addressed those issues. We had a company in here that stopped at my office and talked specifically about some of the complaints they had about, you know, buildings such as this here and property. So those are things that pertain to, you know, what the city has to go through in order for them to enforce this type of nuisance ordinance to at least correct that and remove some of the stuff that needs to be removed. So, you know, number 10, if you think number 10 should be stricken, I'm looking at it, I think we should strike it if that's what the council wants.
Well, if you know, if anybody agrees, or and even if they disagree, that's fine. I didn't really, because I'm holding the meeting up here, but, you know, we can always fix it. That's the other option, is we can always fix it.
Yeah, no, well, we respect your opinion, so that's good, Jack. Okay, well, what does the council wish to do? Motion to approve ordinance? This ordinance, or on a table? Yeah. Direction?
I'll make a motion to table it for the next meeting so that there's time to review it and modernize it.
Yeah, we could
be
getting
into something.
I'll second.
Okay.
Sean?
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Alan?
And I'm just to be clear, this is, we're voting to table it to the next meeting.
That's right.
Yes, well, you guys can.
This ordinance will be on the agenda next meeting.
You guys can go over the enumeration of nuisances, and we'll get them figured out if that's the next meeting to pass through.
Okay. That's what I thought I heard. Yeah.
Okay. So that will be on the agenda.
Okay. Since 2013-07 is the first reading, the motion to get it on the floor to move it on to the second reading. Paul, you wanted to make any comments?
No, you should do the motion to get on the floor.
All right, let's get a motion going then.
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 2013-07 on the floor for the first reading.
Second.
John?
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Briette?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Paul, we can discuss it at the next.
Right. I mean, you could have asked the question before.
Yeah, that's not really.
Everybody knows this ordinance is, as we discussed last week to, or last month, to change our exemption procedures for water and sewer and refuse rates, grandfathering current 65-year-olders. And those who now come forward after this will be given a 20% discount on these services.
Okay.
And again, this ordinance will be posted for 30 days, and at the next city council meeting, we will bring it up for discussion, amendments if so choose, and passage.
Okay. Thank you. New business: amending personnel policy and procedures manual. Paul.
This we've talked about this for a couple of 3 months. They had brought this up, and it was a good idea at the time. We have been paying our employees on a bi-monthly basis for years, meaning they were paid twice a month. This change in our personnel policies will now say that we are paying our employees effective December the 16th, they will be getting paid on every other Friday. There will be no missing. So every Friday, whether it's a holiday or whatever it is, that's when their pay will be placed in their account. This is changing the personnel policy, and this is how we're doing it. And like I said at the work session, this is, you can see by the changes in blue what has been changed. You can also follow these changes by on the left side, on the left hand column of these pages, the little dashes, whatever, there's a change in the document. So as you can see on page 26, the only dash there is we've changed the footer. On page 27, the major change of the personnel policy is now going to read beginning December 16th, 2013, which is a Monday, which is also the beginning of the next federal fiscal year. That's when your start of your 2014 payroll taxes and everything will begin. For most people, I'm sure there's some exceptions to that, but for most people, December 16th is the start of the new federal year. So it works out fine. It works out very well for what we're trying to do here. Beginning December 16th, 2013, employees will be paid every other Friday. The first pay period under this new change will cover December 16th through December 29th. Which is a Sunday. December 29th is a Sunday. That's a 14-day period. Completed timesheets must be submitted to the finance department no later than the Tuesday for the previously completed payroll period. So payroll ends on the 29th, which is a Sunday. Employees have 2 days until the 31st of the month to get paid, their timesheets to payroll. That gives Krista 2 or 3 days. Process payroll, and the first payday will be January the 3rd, and then the next one after that will be January the 17th, and the next one we get that 14 days on to that. I just made a slight change in number 2. Employees on each payday will receive, in addition to their pay, a statement showing gross pay. So in other words, they not only do they get their pay deposit, they'll get a check stub, or they'll get their check and their stub if it's not a direct deposit. The other change we're making in this personnel policy is under per diem. As I said at the work session, we've had $175 per diem forever. I arbitrarily picked the number 200. If the council would rather see a higher number, they can certainly change that tonight. But they, and I don't think, have you got, Alan, and do you have this in your packet? Do you have these changes in your packet?
Yeah, I'm following
okay,
along.
Okay, and Jack, do you have them?
They're highlighted in blue.
Yeah.
I do not have them, okay, well, Paul, but, the but changes, I think the, I have a grasp on what you're doing.
Yeah,
I mean,
the changes only are two times, just a two-week payroll, Jack, and I'm proposing we increase per diem from $175 a day to $200 a day, and from $40 a day for folks like me who travel, and this won't affect me, this won't become effective until, it won't affect this my travel here this month, to $50 a day. And then the last change I'm making to our personnel rules is I'm upping the mileage allowance from 35 cents a mile to 50 cents a mile. This is a slight change. It's more in line with what the actual cost of insuring your vehicle and gas, et cetera, is. We rarely pay this, but it does give us the option of doing that. So it changes the pay dates to biweekly. It changes the per diem from 175 to 200. And it changes the mileage rate from 35 cents a mile to 50 cents a mile. And if the council likes these numbers, then we just need a voice vote to pass it as presented, or if somebody wants to make a change or propose a change, they can do that. And I'm working on a timesheet with Krista and with Shannon beginning December 16th. The employees will have new timesheets to fill out and be twice weekly, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, send it in.
Okay, what is the wishes of the council? Any comments on the per diem raise?
I don't have any problems with what you're talking about. It's not cheap to travel anymore. So,
okay. I'll make a motion to adopt these changes to the personnel policy presented by Paul.
Second.
Any further comments? Any on this
procedure policy?
John?
Danny?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Okay, on the new business number two, City Administrator Andrew Barner contract approval. Jack, I know. Did you get to look that over before you left? You didn't have a copy with you either, do you?
Not right now, but I'm aware of. Yeah, I know it. I'm comfortable.
Okay, all right.
That's what we have.
All right.
I read all that stuff as it came.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Jack. Council comments.
Let me just briefly go over the contract very very quickly. As we know, we've gone through, we had four finalists, and two of them pulled out before they came to Sandpoint. Two of the others, after the interviews, decided they didn't want to be considered. Andy Barner was the last of the four left standing. And we've offered this contract to Andy. He was very excited about it. I think he wants to come and take the job. Let me go through the details of his draft contract. He's seen this contract and has agreed to this verbiage. The highlights of it is very similar to my contract. It's very similar to most of the individual contracts with employees, except under the following. Andy's term of contract would be beginning January the 1st of this year, coming up 14, for 18 months going through June of 2015. We usually end them on the end of a fiscal year. Again, that's arbitrary. You can always run them out longer or shorter if you want. The termination is the same type of clause that is in all our contracts. It takes two-thirds of the council's vote to terminate Andy. If he's terminated when there's still time left on this contract, so say he comes in here in April, he's just not working out, and the council wants to send Andy down the road, he would receive 2 months of his annual salary as compensation. The city can terminate, or if Andy wants to terminate, he has to give us 30 days according to the contract. This monthly salary we're proposing is $7,000, $84,000 a year for Andy. We offered this contract. We put this out as an $80,000 to $85,000 a year job, so we're at the middle high end of what we offered, what we said the rate was going to be. He is not, this position, as you know, is not in PERS, but under 6 it says the position of administrator may be added to the participation agreement. Is the city and the public employees retirement system no sooner than February 1st, because that's when I will no longer, will no longer affect me. Insurance, the administrator will receive the same health and life insurance benefits as other employees of the city. Annual leave, we're going to offer Andy 3 days of annual leave. That's sick and annual. That's personal leave, if you will. He gets no sick leave. So if he's sick or his babies are sick or whatever, it comes out of that pool. We're also capping Andy's annual leave. One of the things in my contract was very generous, and I worked it out a long time ago, was I had no cap of annual leave in my contract. And I tried to use leave as often as I could, and as you guys know, I was golfing when I could, but I have a goodly amount of annual leave. We're capping Andy's annual leave at 400 hours. Anything above that will not be paid. So it's either use it or lose it after 400 hours. You will also get 80 hours of administrative leave, so when he has to attend a conference or he's traveling on weekends or whatever, that he can charge that account. I've had that same account in my contract for years, and I have not tapped that amount for 2 or 3 years now. So it's underlined, administrator receives no sick leave and must either use annual or administrative leave when sick. We will pay his expenses to travel, of course, when he comes out here, when we send him to Juneau to lobby with the mayor, if he has to go down to the boat show. All that is paid by the city. We're also including Andy would become a member of the Alaska Municipal Management Association. That's, I think, a $200 or $300 a year dues. It's similar to Shannon being in the Municipal Clerks Association, et cetera. Martin's in the Mayor's Association. We will pay him to attend the AML meetings. Of course, we do that anyway. Normally, we want our city administrator to attend those meetings. And that's basically, the rest of it's basically boilerplate contract stuff.
Just because I wasn't here during the discussion this afternoon, why did we pick 400 hours that he can, that's the number to tap out at?
Well, it was an arbitrary number I chose. It was less, I mean, my contract says there was no cap, so I wanted to. I think you need to give him more, because he's not going to be able to use his leave as often as other employees. I can vouch for that. There are times when, 3 days a year, a month, 36 days of the year, he's not going to be able to use that much time. Now, maybe his wife's pregnant, maybe he's going to use some, whatever it's called, family and leave act. So, yeah. That's a number I threw in there. I changed that from my contract to this.
That's 5 weeks, right?
Pardon me?
36 days would be five weeks.
7 weeks.
Plus the administrative leave was
two.
Make it
nine
weeks.
Well,
but he's not going to use it all.
Well,
you didn't use all yours.
No, right? A starting employee gets sick and annually. They start. What's the starting rate? 2 days a month. So that's 24.
It only occurs so much.
3 hours every 2 weeks. I
have to remember. It's not 1 day. Well, certainly 1 day.
My other question is about compensation, and can I discuss that right now? This is public information,
absolutely.
Right?
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm just curious why we chose to pay him at the top of our pay scale when he hasn't, been a city administrator before, or, I know that we have to pay an administrator well. I'm not given that, but what was our salary range that we posted?
80 to 85.
I thought it was 70 to 85.
Okay, So 70 to 85, and here's somebody who's...
Maybe it was 80 to 85. Okay.
Do we have the posting on file? Because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, normally if you're going to pay somebody at the top of the salary range, then they would be someone who has already been in a position, you know, in this position before, and so that's my concern with that. I just think that if you remark on depending on experience, I don't know if that was quoted in there or not, but that if you haven't worked that specific position in any other capacity before, that's you don't start at the top of the pay range. When I started my job, I didn't start at the top of the pay range. You know, I had to work my way up there. So those are my two concerns with this contract is the amount of leave. And is this per year? So every year he gets 400 hours?
No.
Or, he can accrue
more than that. He can't go above that.
He can't go above that. Can he cash it out?
Well, our policies you cash out.
Our policies you can't. Everybody's been cashing it out in our... employee
can cash out
once a year. I think we got a cap though. I mean, it's
$250.
Yeah,
they're capped out at $250.
Our policy, as far as being able to cash out leave, that's a mayoral decision and has to be under certain.
Okay.
You know, I thought we should have done away with that, but we've always allowed people to cash out leave.
Well, I think you should be able to cash out leave because there's a lot of people who don't go on vacation and they work.
Well, but that's the point. But, you should go on vacation.
Well,
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, cash. Well, yeah. But so those are my issues, is the compensation amount. I just have a concern of starting off at the top.
Well, let me say two things about his compensation. One, we have to take into account what he's being paid now. Now, we're offering him more than he's being paid now, but not a heck of a lot more. Two, when I started this job in Sandpoint, they offered me $64,000. I took it. If you simply take $64,000 and times it by a 3% cost of living adjustment over the last 15 years, that's up to about that would be about a $90,000 starting pay now. That's what that number would go to. And thirdly, you're certainly within your right, Red, and the council's in their right to change any of the terms in this contract. Andy's in, certainly with him. He has not signed anything. He might say thank you very much and accept it, or he might say no, that's not what we talked about, and reject it. If he rejects the contract, you are back at square one.
And I'd like to follow up. I think the city council has a responsibility to the citizens of the city of Sandpoint to have somebody in the administrative position that can do this job. Paul said we went through 40 applicants, narrowed them down to 15, brought them down to 5. This is one of the top three. He has credibility. He has been in the system as the executive director for SPOMC for a number of years. He's brings a lot of municipal experience with him, being with all municipal governments. So I just think that if you look at the field of administrators out there, this guy fits in the top three that we have. So I don't see an issue with contract myself, looking at he's here 5 days a week, not 4 days a week. He's been 4 days a week. He's capped at 4. I'm just looking at the city's of being beneficial to the city moving forward. We need somebody with administrative skills, and he has skills from that perspective.
So, and then also, if he chooses to participate in the PERS program, then that's an additional amount mm-hmm. that will be paid on top of this as well, if you look at it. So you add all of that in, and we're thinking, like, it's going to be close to, what, $90,000 to $100,000 once you add that mm-hmm. in with the
compensation package. Yeah.
With the compensation package. So those are my concerns is just.
And that's good. Those are good concerns.
And yeah, I same concern I had on the workshop.
Any council have any other comments to make?
Yeah, Martin, I'd like to remind everybody that, you know, we've been turned down 3 times. And my understanding with Andy, what he's getting paid right now, we're not offering him that much more than what he's getting. And the sunset on Paul's term here is coming quickly. And we're not talking about more than what we're paying Paul right now. So I don't see the problem. But I just want to say, for my comment, I support it. And I'm just waiting for you to call the question.
We interviewed these candidates. They were all very good candidates. They were all very well qualified for this position. And I think Andy had grant writing experience, and he's been directing this program. It was going to be a hard decision to decide which
one. He has a degree
one.
In public administration. I think that's means something. And the other thing about paying him the high scale, I mean, I agree, you know, we bring him in. We thought about what to pay Andy. One of the things we want to do, I think, as a city, is we want to make him feel like he's, you know, he's not the low end of the totem pole. We want to make him feel welcome and make him feel comfortable. This is a year and a half contract. I'm certain he can do the job. I mean, he can do a good job for the city. The two unknowns is, will he, you know, and will he get the support? And either one of those is an unknown. I mean,
well, I think that's probably one of the most important topics you hit on, is that will he get support? That's the main thing you would want to come into a position where you have that support. And I mean, that's kind of the big thing of whether or not he accepted this contract. If we threw PERS in for you,
well, we advertise PERS is a non-issue to me. We advertise this position as a PERS position.
You'd be at about 145.
And I don't think it has anything, again, to do with Andy's credibility or his ability to do the job.
Okay.
It was just the salary range that he was going to be paid in. Right, Brad?
Well, that's just, I mean, when you started your position, did you have prior experience as a city administrator?
I did.
Okay. So,
but I didn't have a degree in public administration either. And you had to start somewhere. I mean, you...
I just wanted to make my feelings noted about that.
Well, we appreciate that.
It's okay. Yeah.
any other comments? Council have any other comments before we ask for a motion to approve this employment agreement? Alan?
No, I think I've heard, it's that deal. I wasn't there to interview him, so I'm listening to all you guys talk, and, I guess I've passed this back and forth. I guess, you know, we're kind of committed. If we either go back to square one, start over, basically drawing off the same pool, or we take on Andy, and I've heard some people say that they think that Andy will do a very fine job, and you know, I guess we have to, at this point, I think we need to just give him a try, and if we don't like him, you know, we can always, I guess it's a year and a half, you know, and a year from now we'll start looking for somebody else. And if he's doing a great job for us, we'll all be happy, I guess.
Okay. All right.
I just want to be clear. I wasn't trying to say that I think he would do a bad job. That was not my intention at all. My intention was, I just think when you start at a position, that you don't start at the top of the salary range. That was my point. Not that I doubt. I mean, I've heard the same things from, you know, you and other people, other council members who've spoken to him a little bit more, and they felt confident in his abilities as well. So, not that I think he's going to do a bad job. It's just, I just didn't feel that the top of the salary range is where you start.
No, we appreciate your comments. That's
then, that if there was any misconception, that's what I was saying too in the workshop. You know,
no, we appreciate that.
I didn't pay it that way. You're talking about what to pay the
what
guy.
What to pay the guy.
Do we start him higher? Or do we start him lower? Yeah. I'm of the mindset that you welcome him and say, hey, we're giving you a hell of a good contract here. Come and do us a good job. That's kind of what I look at. And we are. And we expect a lot out of this guy. You will expect a lot. You're going to expect him to work on Saturdays, and you're going to expect him to be out here. Let's see how he performs. If you don't like him, there's a clause in here that you send him down the road with a 2-month severance pay. So it's a $14,000 cost if you end up saying, hey, this guy isn't the guy for us.
And you have a termination clause in there also that gives 2/3 majority. So, I mean, I hope that this guy will
be here for 20 years.
To the community, he's got an 18-month contract, and if he likes it here, and council and everybody works together, and he does a good job for us, we'll appreciate that. So I'm hoping that will happen, that he will earn his money, earn his right to be, and I hope he brings that perspective to the city. Any other comments?
I'll make a motion to approve this employment agreement with Andy Varner.
I'll second.
Before I call the question, Rita, did you have anything to add to that?
I think it's fair, and like if it doesn't work out, we're able to say, hey, sorry, you're gone. So, I think it's fair.
Good, thank you. Shannon, question, please.
Rita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Rhett?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Moving forward, 2014 Horizon Harbor lease. Paul?
Thank you. Again, all leases must come in front of the City Council for approval, and at last month's meeting, you guys approved a laundry list of all our boilerplate leases. You approved all the lockers down at the building. You approved all the leases here in this building. You approved. The only lease you did not approve was the Horizon lease, because we were waiting for the document, which is attached to the last page of this lease, and if you look at it, this is the work that we've been waiting from the Quintoc to give us. We now have it, although this is not a signed document, it's not an official document, it is at least a plat, and it will be signed and recorded, etc. We are leasing Horizon lots number lots number 4 and 5, and as we spoke earlier, lots 1, 2, and 3 we're holding for Silver Bay if and when we get that lease finalized, and I'd like to get that done sooner. And before I head out the door, I'd like to get Silver Bay's lease also tied up. The changes in the Horizon lease, and again, this is something the City Council has to approve or change, is we now specifically are giving them lots 4 and 5. It's for a 1-year lease. It starts January the 1st, ends December the 31st. Dave can go out and find or has found the corners of these lots. Right now, Dave is saying that they're, what, encroaching
60 feet on.
They're already 60 feet over on lot number 3, if you will. And we're not going to say anything until we get this lease signed. But once it's signed, we can go and say, okay, guys, you've got trailers spread across 3 lots because they have none of them stacked up. When they had less area, they had them stacked, I think, 4 high, right? And, of course, it's easier to work if you don't have to stack them aside. So we're going to get them to tidy up and move within their own property lines. Mm-hmm. The changes on this lease is their old lease was for 0.9 acres, plus or minus, left a little less than 1 acre. This new lease is for 1.8 acres. Not all of that 1.8, so it's double in size, if you will, but not all of that 1.8 is usable, because some of it is a steep embankment that they tail into those lots. So we are technically, we're raising the rate from $4,000 a month to $6,000 a month. Now, you can make the case that they got double the space, so we should double their lease rate. I'm making the case that even though on paper they got double the space, they've only actually got about a 50% increase in the usage of their of the space, because a lot of that property is not usable. So the new lease amount would be $6,000 a month. The other change to this lease agreement is Horizon for years has had a sweetheart deal with wharfage rates across our dock. While we charge everybody else $10 a ton to ship goods and materials across our dock, forever and a day, Horizon's got to be able to ship their product across our dock for $5 a ton, half as much. This lease agreement says that that no longer is in effect, and there are no exemptions to the current wharfage rates for the duration of this agreement. So, effective January 1st, Horizon will pay the same wharfage rates as everybody else pays. And the simple reason for that is our dock is our main source of getting goods and services across into Sandpoint, and it's falling apart. That's our number one priority to get fixed, and if we need to show that we're collecting every nickel we can. So again, the changes to the agreement are we have a plat showing exactly what lots they're leasing. We have the corners that we can show them where their property lines are. We are increasing the rent from $4,000 to $6,000 a month, which is significant. I expect a phone call from Mike Lynch or whoever is running Rising out of the mayor about that. And there's no more wharfage exemptions.
Council comments?
I was kind of missing on some of that. The new rate would be $6,000 a month?
Right. The current rate, Alan, is $4,000 per month for 0.9 acres. The new lease is $6,000 per month for double that, 1.81 acres. But we do acknowledge that of that 1.8 acres, probably a quarter of an acre or more is unusable. It's the steep embankment behind those lots. Because those lots actually, the terminus of those lots are up on the back of the hill. So we are increasing their rate $2,000, and we're doubling the size of land that they are. Well, we aren't quite doubling the size of land they're using. And it looks like they need all of that property because of how much they're spread out right now. I don't think they'll question the amount of room they need.
I remember when Zuwanich was here, and you know, he talked about using Horizon lines as well. You know that they would want it. So I think this. I don't think punishing Horizon lines is going to, you know, put us in a good position for getting Silver Bay in either. The other thing I do know is for a fact is that the Horizon Lines does not make money on Sandpoint. You know, they really don't make money moving that freight in and out. And the other thing is, we go back earlier this year, we raised everybody's rates by 20%. But this is, you know, we're doubling the wharfage to them effectively. And that's well over a 26% increase in their rates. I definitely think they'll be calling. I agree. You know, that's a huge jump. A huge jump for an operation that doesn't make huge money.
Well, to respond to their rates, Alan, we charge everybody else in the harbor 10 cents a square foot. If we charged Horizon 10 cents a square foot for the entire 1.8 acres, that would be about $8,000 a month, not six. So we're not charging Horizon 10 cents a square foot. We charge everyone else, even with this change.
I'm sitting here, I can't do the math, but is that, if we did that, is that 10 cents per square foot for usable space?
No, it's 10 cents per square foot for all of it. That's why. You know, we could say 10 cents a square foot for all of it would be about $8,000. I'm saying that it's not all usable, so we reduce that from $8,000 down to $6,000.
Any And I know, Alan, when we got about $50,000 in surveying that property, Paul?
When all is said and done, the city's going to spend about $50,000 on $50,000.
That. At least we have identifier corners on all of the pieces of property we have, and I think lot 4 and 5 is a good, lot 4 and 5. It takes up a lot of space down there. I think it's a lot of land. I know that the vans are spread out pretty far, and there's a lot of space in between, so I think it's a good lease agreement. It's a good space available, and they've done a really nice job down there filling it in with that one-inch minus. It looks nice.
Yeah, I don't think we want to pass the $50,000 survey on to the, to Horizon Lines.
Just that wasn't my intention. I'm just saying that it cost the city, Alan, to survey, to have all these lots available surveyed so we can actually lease these out to potential business people such as Horizon. So the city also incurs expenses in making this land available too.
Well, I definitely think we were, due to raise that lease rate some. But that's certainly significant.
Any other council comments?
I don't have any beef with that. The one thing that, I guess stating the obvious is that we pretty much need them guys, but at the same time we need to be able to recoup some of the damage going on to that dock. So I'm sure it's not just all them, but how that works out, I don't know, but I don't want to chase them away, but at the same time, when they dock those barges, when it's blowing northwest and stuff, that's when a lot of that damage is coming.
We do have I think, how many pilings? 60 timbers down there to replace those fender pilings out there. And it is a lot of vans and barges that do occupy that dock and transporting that product back and forth. And they set those containers on the cement down there. And we've actually sent a request in our CAPSIS program for the legislative session this year to address that issue. So it does, and it is a concern of ours that it is really starting to wear and tear on our main point of commerce, if you will.
One other thing to think about when you talk about wharfage, something we should consider is that the local community pays the $10 a ton, but it's city equipment that's handling that. It's the forklift. It's city personnel. We're paying for, Moon's guys to go out there and handle that barge and offload it. And, even fuel in the forklift is paid for by the city. And while Horizon Lines, all that equipment is paid for by them, and fuel paid by them. The labor's paid by, actually the labor's by Trident. But so that I think there should be some difference in that. The other thing to point out is the sheer weight, when you look at what's going across that dock per lift, There's less wear and tear per lift. But I don't know if it's the right thing to go even Steven on that.
Well, just for clarification, Alan, if our wharfage rates are $20 a ton, so citizens are paying $20 a ton if the city is offloading it. Our wharfage rates basically say wharfage fees when loaded and unloaded performed by city employees is $20 a ton. Wharfage fees when loaded and unloaded by private parties is $10 a ton.
Okay.
Forever, Horizon's been getting by with $5 a ton. So they're paying, if you're paying $20 a ton to get your couch shipped across the dock, Horizon pays $5 for that same thing. It's significant.
Any other comments? There are no comments. Need a motion to approve the lease agreement, 2014 Horizon Harbor lease agreement. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the lease agreement with Horizon.
Second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion on it? Hearing none. Shannon, question please.
Danny?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
I have to disagree, no.
Marita.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Number four, correspondence. We did talk earlier in the workshop about, I believe, this first correspondence we have is Dave. Did you want to make a presentation or anything for the city there?
Sure. First of all, I want to talk about, I guess there's some wiring that on this piece of property that I acquired. I guess Terry and Ed Holstis used to have that, and apparently I guess there's some wire up there that belongs to the city. You don't want it. Oh, I don't know. I've had city boys, you know, say, hey, they want that wire.
Is it any way you can say it city-wide? I mean, is it marked by anything? Is there any containers or shipping or boxes?
You know, I never really inspected it that tight. I mean, like I said, if you guys want to just set up a time, look and see if there's something that belongs to you guys.
What the city's response is, it's your property. You bought it as is. It's on your property. So that wire is yours.
Okay.
Now, if you want to give it to the city, then just work out a deal with Dave, and he can come down and take up whatever you want hauled out of there. But that's technically, we have no standing because we have not reported any missing wire, any stolen wire, or any purchased wire. So even though it might be city property or Ed Holstis come across it somehow, we don't have any way of knowing how.
Right.
So it's your property unless you want to donate it or give it to the city.
Right. Well, you know, I just want to just clear it up. The city doesn't want to take action. I'll just, you know, leave it. I just was made to understand that even your name was actually mentioned that you were kind of wondering about some wire. Now, maybe that was a mistake, but somehow I just want to make sure that the city's...
I don't know when we would have ordered a bunch of wire, unless it was to wire the gear sheds or something. I don't know.
I have no idea. I think maybe Dave can get with you and look at it and just have you look at any of that stuff?
Nope.
Maybe Dave can get with you, Dave. And
I mean, if there's stuff there that I can't use that belongs to the city... I mean,
that belongs to you,
it
Mr.
doesn't
Adams.
Belong to the city.
No, it's all you.
All yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'd be wasting your time then.
You string Christmas lights.
But, Shirley?
Terry Holtis was an electrician, and she did projects on the side for people. She probably ordered stuff to do that. It's probably hers.
Problem.
Okay. Well, I can have a clear conscience that... No, I'm not stealing some fire from the city.
You may be on the gold mine up there.
Well, there's not that much. You know, it looks like it's been pretty well ransacked. It's been broken into. People have been just kind of going in and out, just kind of helping themselves.
If it's copper.
Yeah, copper, yeah. So, and then another thing, I don't know if people have had a chance to see that there was an existing driveway that I think Chris Gunnarsson had put in years ago. It's actually still exists, but and there's actually a culvert that's down on the side of the property where he had that driveway. This lot is, I believe, it's an acre and a half. I think him and Sam Brown both bought adjacent lots and split it in half, had it subdivided, and so this is actually a larger lot, and I think that's why Chris needed to have that second driveway. But anyway, that culvert that was there when Brecken did the job, they pulled it. I understand they have surplus culvert, but they, I guess, elected, you know, through an agreement that was made that they don't have to, they kind of just have one culvert per lot, and it's not sure why, you know, they would, you know, pull that culvert that was already existing on that lot. I was just kind of wondering if there was something that the city could do that, you know, fix that.
Paul, in your guys' initial contract with Brecken on that road, that was just for one driveway per...
Right. Our contract with the state of Alaska to build that road was every property owner was to receive an improved driveway into each property. With a, is it an 18-inch culvert, Dave, that's in those?
About 15.
With 15s. All new driveways had 15-inch culvert. And Brecken then removed any, like your, on whose property had Holst's property, whoever owned the property before you did. They removed that culvert because it didn't meet the design standards of the road. And you certainly can, you as a private property owner, could build your, working with the city and put another road or an access to your property. But if we started building a second driveway, there's a lot of people I think would come forward and say, I'd like a second driveway into my property also. Our agreement with property owners was one driveway per property. And that's, you know, that's what was left.
Well, I kind of knew that that would probably be a reason. I think in this case, this driveway was already existing. And I think that, you know, I'm even willing to meet halfway. I know that there was some surplus culverts that Brecken left behind.
We paid for it.
Well, there's still surplus, you know. And I guess what I'm saying is I'd be willing to meet halfway if I got to pay for some rock or you know, whatever, you know. But, you know, I mean, you talk about beautifying the city, and you just, you know, in that case, I think that there's certain driveways that shouldn't have been eliminated based on an agreement that maybe some landowners weren't aware of.
Well, you know, that was done before you owned the property, if I understand, correct? And the contract we had with the state, all property owners were notified. An easement was granted by every property owner for us to go in. We had to actually have permission to go in and fix their driveway, put in a culvert. A lot of driveways didn't have culverts at all. Every property owner was notified of that, and that's, you know, that's all we did was one driveway per property owner. That's where the city's responsibility ends.
Right, and the culvert they took out was a culvert that didn't fit the state specs, right?
Yeah, it's a 12-inch culvert. It's
just like up at my place when I put that driveway in my place up there. I had to pay for it. I had the city come up and do it. I actually paid for it. They didn't call nothing in there for me. I didn't pay for it. And I think I didn't have a driveway at the time. I was using puddles on the side, but I did pay for them guys to come and haul a rock up for me. I paid for the rock. So I think probably since you have an existing driveway, one for a lot, that probably would be the case for you, is that, you know, if you want to pay for whomever to come up and help you, Western Marine, who hauls
rock? We don't have rock.
We don't have rock.
We have culverts.
Yeah, we don't have rock. I think Shumigan Corporation or Western Marine's got the rock. Am I right, Dave? Mm-hmm. You have to get it from them. And what are they charging the yard?
$50.
$50 a yard for an, I don't know how much you need for your...
I don't know either.
You'd have to check it out.
I think Dave estimated...
10 yards.
Yeah, but I think that would be a start for you where you could start at that, because I know that's probably where... And I think Paul is correct. If we did that, you know, everybody's going to be able, hey, I need to...
So what about the culvert? I mean, I have to meet specifications for a culvert then?
And we have culvert material. He can purchase culvert material from us.
So there's really no wiggle room as far as maybe halfway?
I don't know. Why would the city agree to that? Because the next guy, you know, your neighbor would be in there saying, well, you built half his driveway, I want you to build half ours.
I think I'm asking that because, and I know it's probably not going to fly, but, you know, that was an existing driveway. And the people that had that property, they were, you know, splitting up. I mean, maybe they got the notice, maybe they didn't, but they weren't, they didn't you know, have a lot of turmoil in their life, and they didn't really have a chance to really fend for themselves when they were so focused on domestic problems. So, I don't know, if it had been an existing road, I'm sure that any other property owner, you know, would have said something.
But
in this case...
You have an existing road to your house right now.
Right, but
that's just the second one. Then.
Right. There's also the driveway that Chris put in two driveways, one for each shop each side of his house, and the one shop that he used that has been blocked off is what he used to work his nets, and so right now that driveway, which is still in existence, is not really accessible.
Oh, to his shop.
To the shop where he worked on his gear.
But see, Dave, you bought that property as is, where it's
right.
You didn't buy with improvements.
Right, but I'm trying to stay.
I don't think the city is liable to put anything on your property or do on your property. It's you bought it the way it was.
And I think, you know, personally speaking for the city, I agree with Paul, and I can get council input on this here, that we had a commitment at the time when they built that road, Paul, and that was from the Department of Transportation, is to put one driveway per household, correct? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how that road was put in, so I think that's the obligation the city had. Now, if you want to do that road and use a legal culvert, there's no issue with that.
So I'd like to have a permit to fix... or anything like that, just do it. Just get by the culvert, get the rock, and do it myself.
Well, since you're adjoining Dave Levy to the road system, the asphalt has got to be otherwise sloping to the asphalt too, correct?
Yes, well, see, I really don't like the idea anyway. It was the same with Alvin's, that there was no approach board off the edge of the road, so chances of breaking the edge of the road in the middle of summer when it's warm out is a probability.
Well, what happened to Alvin? How come he got...
Well, Alvin built his, but...
Alvin paid them.
Alvin paid to do his, but I didn't like the idea of it at the time because there is no one-foot port approach that it could break the edge of our road, and that's under driving surface.
Well, it's not like I'm going to be using it all the time. I mean, just access to it in an existing driveway.
You can't access it from your own personal driveway to your shop, but you can't do that for you? You can't access... your shop from your driveway? The existing one.
The existing one. Well, it would require probably a lot more expense to do that.
But you wouldn't have an issue with your transition into our road system then without worrying about
it? Well, it was already an existing trend. I mean, it was the driveway's already existing.
But not when the asphalt was there. See, they replaced that. They took that. It was dirt when
they
took it out.
They did lift, too.
Yeah.
Brecken lifted it. It's like a foot higher than it used to be.
Oh, I see. That's what's mentioned in your letter, right? I know. Maybe my recommendation would get with Dave, and I think it would be something to look at if you can transition that in correctly. There shouldn't be an issue with it as long.
No, it's possible, Martin. It's just that there's no safety 1 foot chunk of asphalt to keep people from breaking the sides of the road. That's why I complained about Alvin's. So
right. That's an issue that we'd have too with that.
We're living
that
with issue. It. Yeah.
But if there's a way they can transition that in correctly, you may be able to put that road in. And I'm sure it would be at your expense, though, from what I'm understanding. Hmm. Council have any comments?
Okay, well, I stated my case. So.
Okay. Council have any comments? Any more comments on it? We did have one other letter we talked about at the workshop, and I'll call Joanna about that. I'll make sure I make a point of giving her a call, and I'll maybe get help her.
Don't know what to do with that one. Mark.
Well, we'll just respond to the council.
Have we had any other accidents there? I mean, is it a bad spot, or is it just at one time?
Oh, it's just a one-time accident. Maybe the chief, you can fill us in on that. That might help us.
A few outside factors resulted
right. But
in
it's not someplace that others have driven off of.
Oh, yeah. Other people
it's
have driven off. Same, pretty much the same area, but in 40 or 50 feet.
Can I make a comment about that spot? Not recently, but before when ice would build up in there, I would, because I take my bus up there just because it's more convenient for my families, but I would have to make them come down, walk their three-year-olds down to the bus stop because it is a scary location when you're going around if it's icy. but it hasn't been like that. Ice hasn't been an issue in a long time, but because they keep the roads pretty clear.
Yeah, what I can do is I can I'll get with her and maybe Dave you can. It's and Brad just brought up she goes and picks the kids up at the bus. So you know, it might be something that we could look at if it's a dangerous area where you know that could possibly happen.
We have a lot of dangerous areas.
I know. I know. We do. Okay. Any other comments? Any public comments? Any more public comments? It's your last chance.
I was looking on the Horizon contract, and you know you have Addendum 1, but you don't have Addendum 2.
Well, Addendum 2 is our boat harbor. It's
okay.
25 pages, and we basically we're going to give Horizon a copy of our current boat harbor, so they'll know what the wharfage rates are.
Yeah.
Because it is so big, and Shannon said, should I copy the entire boat harbor code? And I said, no, we know what the harbor code is. Gives Trident Horizon a chance to, they'll look at their leasing, they can see what our fare, our fees are for their operation.
And another concern, the property, the two pieces of property come out to 79,057 feet. If you took 20% off of that, you only get 53,256 feet of usable space.
Right.
I just took 20%.
Right.
And that would have 10 cents a foot would be 5,000.
Well, what I'm going to do, and we're going to, this lease is passed, what I'm going to ask McClintock to do is see if he can provide me with what that hatched, how many square foot that half, I'm sure he can. And deduct that from the total lots and figure out what their usable square. Like I said, I expect Horizon to call Martin about the raise. And if they have a good point that the number is too high, or you know, we've thrown a number out there, they may say, we might not hear a peep from them.
Right.
But if they come back and say, boy, that's a huge increase, we can talk about 10 cents a square foot of usable space and see what that comes out.
Yeah,
and we're kind of like you took 20%. You're just ballparking.
Yeah.
I don't know what that touch, what percentage that.
Well, just looking at the picture here.
And Raymond, I think also on the original blow up, it comes out to about 1.2. It's 1.2 usable. It was 0.09 they were given, but when you take the both lots and you combine the usable space, it comes out to just over an acre, 1.2. So the 0.9 wasn't even, yeah.
I think 43,000.
Yeah, well, you see the blow, it's got 61 and 40-something, just about comes to 1.2.
But again,
I have to see the original blow. You're looking at the little calendar. It doesn't show the other side of it. But I talked to McClinto about it, and it's about one, just a little under 1.2.
Yeah, and again, if this 6,000 is way out of line and Horizon can make their case, that does not stop the city from coming back to the council and saying they made a good case and we're proposing to drop their lease to 5,000 or whatever. This is just to get the lease in front of them before the end of the year. And it was my ballpark of if it's 1.8 acres at 10 cents, that would have been a lot.
7,905.70.
If it was all usable. And so I just said, rather than 7,900, six. That's how I did it.
Okay. All right. Any more public comments? Any council comments?
I had one.
Sure.
It was, you guys probably talked about it in the workshop, but how did we come with the outstanding harbor debts and water and sewer debts? Did we make any movement towards collecting on those or putting them out for collection?
Yeah, we've been working on part of an ordinance we had talked about was number one, were for the boats that were in the harbor. We need direction for that also, Alan.
We did talk about our what's it called, our derelict list, or
the derelict list.
Our
for the
non-payment.
Yes, non-payment.
Thank you.
Rhett.
I think what he was meaning is possibly during our last meeting or during the workshop, we discussed working with maybe collections on some of those big ones. Is that what I understood, Alan?
Yeah.
Yes, Alan, and according from our last meeting, we also was waiting for the ability to seize the property in a harbor also for those who own a lot of money on the property in a harbor. We already know about the land, the upland, and the regular property. We're waiting for that. Once that's established, we will be sending them into collecting.
One of the things we aren't going to do is put anybody's boat in the water that owes us right. money. So that's some leverage we have.
But we'll move forward on that one. I'll update you. When are you due back? When are you guys coming back?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I think the 4th.
Okay. We'll have information for you at the next meeting. How would that be? For the
okay. Okay, sounds good.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin.
Okay, any other council comments?
Are we done then, Mr. Mayor? We're done with action items?
Yes, if you have any more comments, Jeff.
No, I really don't, Martin. I'll call you at the next meeting. And, thanks for letting me dial in. And but it's 10 o'clock. I'm looking at the clock down here. The day is getting kind of long, if I can be excused. It's great.
Well, we appreciate both you guys being online with us. Thank you. Have a good holiday.
Okay, we'll see you before then, but you too.
All right, thanks guys.
Meeting adjourned.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Meeting adjourned.